Hey, it's Chaz Mostard here, and yes, I'm inside your speaker. I'm in here because I have a special message for you from Clayton in Melbourne. If you're a club, state, or national racer on the circuit or on the dirt in Speedway or rallying, you can now tap into the know-how of Walkinshaw Racing Services, and you don't need a supercar to get in the door. The same expertise that's won multiple Bathurst 1000s and V8 Supercar Championships is now available for you to call upon. From bonnet to bumper, WRS can help you with engines, design, paint, machining, fabrication, and so much more for all sorts of makes, models, and categories. Have a chat with Walkinshaw Racing Services and tell them what matters to you. Call now on 1300 W Racing or email services@walkinshawracing.com.au.
A Motorsport Podcast Network production.
G'day race fans, welcome to the Motorsport News Podcast. I'm your host Will Dale, and here's what's making headlines this week. Well, unless you've been living under a rock for the past 36 hours, you'll know that we've finally got a development in the Brody Kostecki Erebus Motorsport standoff, but I don't think it's the one any of us were really expecting. Yes, Brody is going to be back in an Erebus Camaro for the ITM Topor Super 400, and yes, we'll break all that down in the show. Cam Waters is still smiling after his long-awaited NASCAR debut in the Craftsman Truck Series at Martinsville. He put the tradie-backed number 66 Thor Sport Racing truck 12th in practice and qualified 22nd, then ran as high as the fringe of the top 10 until he was the victim of a couple of late race concertinas back in the pack, the second of which, with 25 laps to go, mashed his radiator and ended his night. The plan is for him to do the Craftsman Truck Race on May 4, but our mail is that the deal isn't quite signed off yet. Brad Jones Racing has been testing as it looks to overcome a difficult start to 2024, but they weren't at Winton. They used up the first of Jackson Evans' three rookie test days on Monday, heading north to Queensland Raceway, which was a lucky thing given the dodgy forecast at their home track. Under the rookie rules, teams don't have to go testing at their designated test track, but they can choose only one other venue to go test at. Indeed, instead of Winton, fellow rookies Ryan Wood and Aaron Love knocked over rookie days at the Bend last month. Toyota's Harry Bates and Coral Taylor got their Australian Rally Championship title defence underway with a win at Rally of Canberra. The event was cut in half, though, with that rain bomb that hit Australia's east coast, washing out both the ceremonial start in our nation's capital, as well as the entire first day of stages on Saturday. Meantime, Molly Taylor and Andy Sarandis got their pursuit of the Production Cup title underway with a class win and seventh outright in their Subaru. The GT4 version of the new Ford Mustang will make its race debut in Australia this weekend. George Medici and Super 2 young gun Ryland Gray will pilot the car in the Monochrome GT4 Australia Series at the Phillip Island Shannon Speed Series round. It's another part of a big weekend of celebrations for the Blue Oval around a major milestone for its pony car. Along with title sponsorship of the event, which is called the Ford Mustang 60 Years Race Phillip Island, there'll be car club displays, Mustang owner parade laps, and special ticket offers for Mustang owners. Some sad news this week with the passing of Bev Brock. Bevo, of course, was Peter Brock's longtime partner from the late 1970s through to the early 2000s. Along with dedicating much of her life to Peter's racing career and their family, she was also a big supporter of charity initiatives and received an Order of Australia back in 2016 for services to charity. She was diagnosed with cancer 2 years ago and passed away early Sunday morning, aged 77. We extend our condolences to the Brock family. Overseas now, and Max Verstappen led Sergio Perez in another Red Bull 1-2 in Formula 1, this time at the Japanese Grand Prix, with Australian Grand Prix victor Carlos Sainz rounding out the podium for Ferrari. It was a rough day for the Aussies at Suzuka, though. Daniel Ricciardo's race barely got underway. A slow start on harder tyres than those around him saw him drop a couple of spots before tangling with Alex Albon just a few corners into the race, while a mistake from Oscar Piastri let George Russell slip past for 7th at the start of the final lap. William Byron took out the NASCAR Cup Series race at Martinsville, heading a Hendrick Motorsports sweep of the top three spots, capping off the team's celebrations of the 40th anniversary of its first Cup Series victory. While in the Xfinity Series, Shane Van Gisbergen raced his way to 12th place in another overtime finish. Arik Almirola won the race and pocketed an extra $100,000 through the Dash for Cash bonus prize program. And spare a thought for GT racer Jordan Pepper. He had a handy lead on the final lap of the 4-hour Nürburgring Langstrecken Series race on the Nordschleife on Sunday, but was running low on fuel in the Lamborghini he was sharing with Kelvin Vondelind. He eased up in the run to the line to ensure he didn't have to do another lap and got pipped to the checkered flag by the Manti Porsche of Bathurst 12-hour winner Lawrence Vanthoor and Kevin Estrie. The margin, just 0.042 of a second, or roughly the distance from the snout to the rear door of a Porsche 911 GT3R. Now look, I know what I said last week, that we'd be doing one-on-one interviews from now until after Topor. Well, Monday morning's news kind of blew that plan out of the water. So joining me this week is V8 Sleuth founder and managing director Aaron Noonan. Now, it's only your third appearance here on the MN Pod, but I guess it's the week for comebacks.
I've picked a week, haven't yes, I? Yeah. Genuine shock is probably the term that would describe Monday morning.
It's the cleanest term, yeah.
Yeah, indeed. It's big news, you know, from the positive lens. Brody Kostecki is going to be back in a supercar. That's good news for the sport, but there's so many elements to all of this, and we'll unpack it a bit more. But I think there's more questions than answers with what comes out of Monday.
Totally. I mean, and this is the thing. It came out of Monday. This really caught, I think, everyone in the industry on the hop because it literally rolled out Monday morning. There was no advance notice, no speculation, no leaks, no nothing. It was, well, here's the statement. Off we're going back to the races with Brody.
There was a very brief period on Monday morning when there was an internal discussion between some of us here in our office that there was a whisper that this was going on. And by the time we had done a little bit further on it, suddenly there was a statement provided. So, and that came out at 10:15. Local time, we're in Melbourne, yeah. Of course, for those depending on where you're listening. That is, Brody's back in the car, we're all good, we're off and running in Taupo, and he's going to drive at Winton on Wednesday. So the thing that instantly sprung to my mind was, what's changed? Because there has clearly been a massive change in the last 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, however many days it may have been.
It was sudden. Like, it's massively such sudden. A massive about-face from the narrative that's been going since all of this emerged publicly back in, what was it, end of January, start of February.
Mm. Clearly something major has changed in the background here. And it would appear from the outside looking in, and I mean, that's the scenario. I know that we're seeing and reading a lot of comments from fans and frustrated fans who want the full story and all this. But the reality is that it's just not going to come out. Unfortunately. It might in the years ahead, but it's not at any time soon. And it's not because we're trying to hide anything. It's just that there's certain things we can't tell you. There's certain things that the team won't tell or that Brody can't tell. So I think when you strip it all away here, whatever has changed here has radically altered Brody's view to go from I'm not driving to I'm driving, which is a massive shift in a very what would appear to be a very short space of time. So I can only have the impression that something major was put on the table to change this scenario to him not driving, from him not driving to him now driving.
This is the thing. Like, my first reaction to see, so I wasn't part of those conversations yesterday morning. I was at the vet with my dog.
Always
so
happens at these times.
It really does.
Big breaking
yeah.
news, and we're off doing stuff.
Yeah. So my first reaction to all of this, apart from the shock and being pleased, of course, at the fact that Brody's going to be back in the car, because obviously having the reigning champion, somewhat a driver of his caliber, back in the series is a good thing. But my next thought was, honestly, what was the point of the past 4 or 5 months? I mean, are we all meant to pretend like nothing happened and everything's fine now?
It's a great point. And it would appear if you're Brody Kostecki, are you in a better or worse place than if you'd just been driving? If you'd just raced those first two rounds, and if you weren't happy with the team or you weren't happy with elements of things or all the relationships weren't as great as you would like them to have been, in hindsight, if you'd just done it, would it be at this point? It's a whole nother question. It's a whole nother
story. It's a real big hypothetical, because if you go down that, if you take that concept to its full extension, he would have been in a number one Coca-Cola backed Camaro for the past two rounds.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a massive difference. It's a massive difference. So do we get Brody Kostecki in Topor in a few weeks' time, talking about topics, talking about things, interviewed, doing big sit-downs? If it is, I can't imagine it's going to be his side of the story. The statement was very telling earlier in the week. It very much had a feeling of, we're all good. So what wasn't good? what wasn't good to the point where he wouldn't drive for a couple of rounds and sat on the sidelines for a few months? I've got my theories. I'm sure you've got yours. I'm sure all of our listeners have theirs as well. And some of those theories are more learned than not. But the fact of the matter is we don't have all the pieces of the puzzle here. Those who hold the pieces of the puzzle will choose whether they one day do or don't, or can or can't, show those pieces and click them into place. One of the things that's definitely come out of this is Peter Adderton is livid.
He's not happy, is he?
He feels like, and I'm just reading from his social posts, he's backed Brody Kostecki in his mind for a long time, and whatever changed has forced him to feel like he's been abandoned. And he even referred to in one of his posts into a reply on socials, and Paul. Paul is Paul Morris. And the dude, of course, has been involved with Peter over the years through the
Tony days. It's a long relationship.
Long way back. So whatever's changed here, he feels really aggrieved that it almost read from him that the cards had been folded in the hand that was being held, and he was really unhappy that basically that the hand wasn't being held.
And it's easy to overlook, given how outspoken and Peter Adderton's been over the years, that he is clearly someone who is very passionate about motorsport. And it would be, given some of the things that he's said on social media that he's done, it would be sad to lose someone who was that passionate about the sport, even if you don't necessarily agree with the way he goes about it.
Sure. And the great thing about Peter is he moves the meter. He makes you decide whether you like him or you loathe him. There's no vanilla. There's no in the middle. That's the thing that we need in this sport. That's the thing that all entertainment and sports need. You need people who move the meter, and he moves the meter, whether you like it or you don't. But clearly, I mean, you know what sprung to my mind instantly this week when this all happened?
Didn't involve a hat, did it?
It involved a hat.
Yeah.
What if Brody gets the pole position in Taupo? Is he exempt from the hat? Is the hat still a hat? Is Boost out?
Well, the other two, presuming Boost is still in, the hat exemption was based on the fact, clashing sponsorships. Yeah. So unless there's a clashing telco sponsorship at Erebus that we don't know about, then I would presume both Brody and, for that matter, Jack LeBrock would have to wear that hat should they get a pole position at any point for the rest of the year.
Interesting times. Mm. We've talked a lot about what we don't know. Let's talk about what we do know. I'm of the belief and understanding that, of course, Brody hasn't been in a race car since Adelaide.
In terms of a
supercar.
He was meant to do that thing over at COTA the week after, but was getting his tonsils taken out.
Correct. So it was my understanding that he's been at Norwell, and he's been working and doing some stuff at Norwell. I've seen him in the background of various photos that the Motorplex has been posting with corporate drive days and stuff like that.
Which is the sort of thing he's done at Norwell for a long time.
Yeah, that's nothing new or different. Correct. So he's got a very long-term relationship with Paul Morris and the Motorplex. So it's my understanding that he was at Norwell yesterday, I think, to turn some laps in whatever cars they had floating around up there.
Yesterday being Monday.
Yeah, because I mean, he's got to get his eye in because he's going to test at Winton tomorrow being Wednesday, and that is my understanding is that that's a full team test.
Yeah, correct. I was talking to a representative of the team earlier. It is both cars, the number one Erebus Camaro now that Brody's going to be in, and the number nine car of Jack LeBrock. Todd Hazelwood, who, of course, was driving the car up until, right now, he'll be on hand as well to help the transition for Brody getting back into a supercar. And, of course, this isn't the car that he ended last year in. This was a brand new car built for the 2024 season. So, it'll actually be his very first laps in that car.
Todd Hazelwood's a part of this story too because, obviously, now he will revert to co-driver role for Sandown and Bathurst. So, I would expect that the Brody and David Russell combo is clicked back together, and that leaves Todd now to drive with Jack LeBrock, and Jaden Hojeda, who'd been sitting there kind of as the next guy in, won't be the guy in, and he'll be on the market for someone to snap up.
Tell you what, that is, for anyone that doesn't have their co-drivers locked in, Jaden's a good get. At this stage of the game, a driver of his quality and the amount of racing he's doing this year as well in terms of keeping match fit.
Where's he driven before for the Enduros that haven't announced their drivers this year?
That's sounding like a certain Yatala-based team.
MSR.
Yeah.
Might be a nice fit there with a race-winning car.
I was going to say, not a bad place to be landing, really.
Very much so.
Presuming any of this ends up happening.
Well, yes, but I reckon that that might be a shot. That might be a shot.
It's going to be interesting to see how the test day unfolds at Winton tomorrow, because as we all know, as we're experiencing it, as we record this in Melbourne today, we've had the stereotypical four seasons already. I haven't seen any hail, but it's surely on the way.
Give it an hour.
Brad Jones Racing, as said in the headlines, went to QR instead of Winton on Monday, which was a sensible thing again because of the forecast. The current thinking is that apparently it's going to be dry for much of the day, but that would, of course, have some impact on Brody getting his eye in. But, of course, Taupo is a completely new circuit to everyone, and I'll be fascinated to see if Brody gets on a plane like the other 23 drivers in the field seem to have done in the past couple of weeks to go turn some laps and actually get some in-person experience of the circuit.
Well, he'd probably be one of the very few who hasn't, because it seems like if you've been in the airline industry in the last few weeks, you've been busy with supercar drivers jetting to and fro from New Zealand to sample that track for the first time. All of this stuff, this whole Erebus situation, the Brody stuff, all of the tentacles, all of the elements, I've been pondering this for a while, and I know there's people in the industry talking this too. Where does this leave the future of Erebus and Betty Klemenko? Because they've won what they came to win.
They've got all the prizes.
They've won the 12-hour, the 1,000, and the Drivers and the Teams Championship. The people who scoffed at her when she first came into supercars, the Mercedes era, the rebirth with Commodores and the move to Melbourne, they have done it. They have done all the things that matter in this industry. And with everything that's gone on in the last 3 months, 4 months, call it what you will, does Betty just find something else to do here with her money and her time and her passion and her heart and soul? Because if you've done what you set out to do, and then there's been all this drama and grief, and whoever's fault it's been and whoever's played whatever part, that's another part of it. But does Erebus remain ongoing next year? Does she sell? Does she wind it back? I wouldn't be surprised if something like that occurred just because of all of this. It all makes sense.
It makes sense. I can see the logic there. But for someone to sell, there also needs to be someone to buy. And that's probably, if we're looking at that as a hypothetical, then that is the next stage of, like, who's buying? Like,
well,
I presume.
What bits do you need to buy? Do you just buy, you know, equipment? Do you buy lock, stock, and barrel everything? Do you just buy the bits you need? There's all sorts of scenarios here, and I'm sure there's other people out there who are pondering and thinking and looking at the possibilities moving forward too. But I can't help but think that, are we sitting here next year with Erebus Motorsport on the grid? Because with all of this stuff that's gone on, how much longer can it go for? I mean, how many more twists and turns are there in the storyline here? I guess we'll find out as the year goes on, but I think it's one of those things that when you've won it all and you've done all you set out to do, from the outside it would appear, do you go, well, this is not fun anymore. I've, you know, 10 years of work and effort and investment, the goals have been realized. What's the next goal? Are there any more goals?
To keep winning. It's the same one that everyone else is in that's still in motorsport.
It didn't work for Nico Rosberg.
Yeah.
He won the thing he wanted the most and then went, I'm done.
Yeah.
So everyone's different.
Everyone's wide different. He is very much an outlier, but you do have a fair point.
It's definitely a question to ask.
Well, probably the big question to ask immediately, though, is how is Brody going to go? Because he is, of course, the reigning champion. Erebus cars, although they haven't been at the very front of the field like they were during the 2023 season, and they haven't been particularly slouches, how's he going to go?
Honestly, no idea. Yeah. I mean, should he perform at the same level that JLB and Todd Hazel would have been performing at? You would think that's probably doable. Is he a race winner? I don't think so. Is he on the podium? I don't think so. Is he a 5-10 runner? Probably, given what we've seen of their cars so far this year. But hard to tell. Hard to tell. He's a special driver. We know that. He's not just a run-of-the-mill driver. So can he make those cars better in such a short space of time? That's a question.
Well, I guess the other thing that a lot of drivers, and if you listen to the Brad Jones Racing Rundown last week, Macaulay Jones talking about his experiences of driving at Taupo during the week, that all the different surfaces are quite abrasive, and tyre longevity and making your tyres last is probably going to be a key factor when they go racing there. And that's such a fine skill to have as a supercars driver. I wonder if that's the sort of edge you lose when you're not in the car full time, or you've missed a couple of races, as Brody has.
Two in a couple of weeks' time. But it's one of those pods, hasn't it, mate, where we've just asked so many questions.
We don't have answers.
And we don't have too many answers. Some of those answers will form through Topol. Some will form in the weeks that follow. But this has been the supercar soap opera of soap operas. And I think there's a few more episodes to come. It's not over, and we haven't got to the finishing credits yet. But there's no doubt that the news on Monday morning caught a lot of people on the hop. And I've got to say, personally, I had mentally just penciled him in as being parked for the year.
Same. I'd reached that conclusion because there'd been no movement. There'd been no talk, and there was no suggestion that we were heading towards any form of resolution that would see him in a race car again this year.
And clearly something big changed in the very recent times to change the situation. What that was, it's going to be left into those involved to be able to tell properly in the future, if they ever tell at all. But what we can say is that something big has occurred. The champ is coming back. Is it all perfect and lovely? That's for them to all decide.
It's going to be interesting seeing everyone in the Erebus garage under the spotlight in the public eye at Topor, because that's going to be a very bright spotlight with everyone trying to gauge every expression, every bit of body language, every movement, every conversation.
Oh, and you can just bet that the TV cameras are going to be looking to see Brody and Barry, or Brody and Betty, if Betty's there. I'm not sure if she's going to be in New Zealand. She tends to not travel too far these days. But what's the body language? What's the reaction? There's so many elements that we're going to see in the next few weeks. But no doubt, it's one of the biggest ongoing stories in the history of supercars. And we've seen big stories before, but they kind of one bit of news, bang, done. This one's ongoing, and I don't think we've heard the end of it yet.
Now, before we go, a reminder, of course, to check out our teammates' podcasts here on the Motorsport News podcast feed. Tomorrow, Peter and Luke Whitten from Rally Sport Magazine are back with a new episode of the Special Stage Rally podcast, and hopefully they've both dried out after the very wet Rally of Canberra on the weekend. If you love rallying, look out this weekend too for the relaunch of their podcast, Dust Trails, featuring one-on-one chats with stars from the sport's past and present. That won't be in the MN feed, so search for Dust Trails on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on from this Saturday. And of course, our other teammates, the Brad Jones Racing Rundown. Macaulay Jones, as I said earlier, was joined by Brad Jones on the last ep, where they talked about their struggle for speed so far in 2024, as well as Macca's insights into Topor. And that honestly was very interesting to listen to, so make sure you check that out too. But for now, on behalf of Aaron Noonan, I'm Will Dale. I'll catch you next time on the Motorsport News Podcast.
Hey, it's Chaz Mostert here, and yes, I'm inside your speaker. I'm in here because I have a special message for you from Clayton in Melbourne. If you're a club, state, or national racer on the circuit or on the dirt in Speedway or rallying, you can now tap into the know-how of Walkinshaw Racing Services, and you don't need a supercar to get in the door. The same expertise that's won multiple Bathurst 1000s and V8 Supercar Championships is now available for you to call upon. From bonnet to bumper, WRS can help you with engines, design, paint, machining, fabrication, and so much more for all sorts of makes, models, and categories. Have a chat with Walkinshaw Racing Services and tell them what matters to you. Call now on 1300 W Racing or email services@walkinshawracing.com.au.